In Elberton is where the prophecy came concerning the man-child many years ago. And tonight is the middle of the week. And the man-child was caught up in the middle of the week. Tonight, it was no coincidence that Brother Ron would leave his car tonight. I don't know that I've driven your car to church any other time. I don't remember any other time. But the car that we had purchased after the death of Brother Branham, in that Brother Branham was due to get a new car. They already had it bought, had it already waiting on him, but he had his wreck and he didn't get to get to it. And then a little later on we came and God gave us a car just like the one that they had waiting on him. And the car, I spoke of it when we got the car, how did it come from Lamb and Whaley. How many know that Jonah was a type of Christ in the belly of the whale? How many? And then when the car was passed on to Brother John Jameson, it had a great significance. He took a trip in the car, and he followed the same trail that Brother Taylor and I followed when we had the Lord to speak to us about the tornadoes. There at the Great Divide, and when he took the little baby blanket along with him on the 6,000-mile tour. When the Lord spoke to me and I looked, and the spirit of Elijah came upon me when we was down in Texas. I want you to listen real good, because the things of God is foolishness to the carnal-minded. And we got some carnal-minded here. We've got some of you here, and it's just so foolish to you. But it's so wonderful to me. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to say I'm glad it's foolishness to you, because I'd like for you to know, you know, and rejoice too. But in that you credit yourself to be so intelligent and so smart, I'm so glad it's so rich to me, because you're so smart that you've outsmarted yourself, you know. And the Bible said God hath made it foolishness to the carnal mind. Brother Taylor took the little blanket, and here's something real foolish. I spoke of it before. You see this little iron thing right here? It's called a cradle. That little iron thing has to do with the revelation of the Lord Jesus and that little blanket he took. Ain't that foolish? You see that thing? Ain't that foolish? But if you just knew, if you just understood. But I thank God for his wonderful blessings. I thank God for his kindness. Here in the middle of the week, Brother Dudley Rain comes from up at Elberton, Georgia, where the prophecy of the man-child was given, and where the little stone church is, there where the prophecy was given, we still have the little picture with the three pillars of fire on it. Three blazing pillars of fire, as plain as the noonday sun. No mistaking what they are. And then the car tonight, being Brother Ron's, just the other day, Brother Ron went up in the plane, took Brother David, little Brother David, up in the plane, and they were flying around, and we spoke of some things and the significance of it. And then tonight, he left the car, and I came up here in the car, have the keys in my pocket here now, and I had already spoken to somebody confidentially about little Brother Rain's coming down, and what it had to do with. And even though Brother Bill and him did not know at this precise moment what was taking place, yet by inspiration they went and bought the stone, my birthstone, placed it within a buckle. It was broken into three pieces. We took it, put it back together, and there was a great significance in that. And then when we put the little stone in the buckle, I worked hard on it to put it back together. I placed the little stone within the buckle, and then I was very weary, very weary, and I went and lay down. When I lay down, something said to me, said, that's not sufficient. And I thought, well, Lord, I put the stone back together. What else can I do? And something said to me, there's one more thing that you'll have to do. Go get the little tiny cross. You remember speaking of the cross tonight that you got in your car, brother? Said, go get the little tiny cross that your son George Jr. gave you that has a little pearl in the middle of it. and take it and put it in the center of the buckle or the center of the stone. And I did. And there was a great significance to it, and God spoke out to me concerning it. But I got up, I went back to the belt, the stone, and I put the little cross on it. And then I felt contented. I took the little stone and I laid it away. One of those stones that came in was what they call a malachite stone. It's spelled just like you, Malachi, is spelled, except for the light part, the last part, Amalekite. Not a Branhamite, Amalekite. And this stone come from over around the Holy Land. You know, they got Branhamites and Pikites and Malachites. And this stone came from over around the Holy Land, right where the temple was built, that Solomon built. And this stone came, and they put it within the belt. When it came to me, instead of having my birthstone, it had this malachite stone. They had broken my birthstone. Brother Jim had gotten it, being typical of the church, in that Jesus was bruised and broken at Calvary. The Trinity came from Calvary. How many of you know that? In the dissecting, that came from Calvary. And after the Dark Ages, that's when it started. And Jimmy having the stone, it broke into three parts. I took the stone out, the Amalekite stone out, and put in there the stone of my birth, in there, and placed the cross on it. That was the one it had in there. It had the stone of my birth, and then the Amalekite stone was put in, and then it was taken out, and the stone of my birth was put in again with the cross on it. Now, ordinarily, my little David, he's got such a curiosity till you couldn't have kept that belt buckle down there in no way without him seeing it. But somehow his heart was pacified to the extent that he didn't go in to get it, though he knew it was in the safe. And for no reason at all, with no plans, not even thinking when I did it, this very night, Brother David came and sit down in the living room. Little Brother Dudley Raines came and sit down in the living room. And when he did, without realizing it, all of a sudden we have taken the stone out of the safe. And there we sit with the stone. The prophecy of the man-child, the death of Brother Branham, the angel appearing to us in Miami, Florida, asking about the stone of our birth. And all of a sudden we said this was the time of it. And here comes the stone of our birth. And I said it had to do with the membership of the body of the Lord Jesus. And numbers of them, for some reason or another, has begun to get their birthstone. Is that right? There's a number of them that's begun to get their birthstone for some reason. Because it has a great spiritual significance right at this time. And it also has to do with us going to the Holy Land. Whereas it's the cutting off of the days of the Gentiles. Because when the man-child goes up, the Gentiles are cut off. And at that time, Antichrist comes into the earth. And you know, without me trying to get into anything tonight, even though we could get into a long thing about it and bring out some revelation, you know that at this specific time that the woman has already placed her foot on the moon. You know at this specific time that we pointed out that the Antichrist system is already at hand, the computer, the mark of the beast, which means also the catching up of the man-child. And I just recently read in the paper, I guess James must have brought me this clipping. I didn't see it until just yesterday, I believe it was, Brother Torrance. But this paper from Washington, it had an article in it, and it said in here that they had perfected a branding iron from the laser beam. This man wasn't writing anything about religion because he apparently didn't know anything about religion. Never did mention religion. There was nothing connected with religion. He was interested in the commercial appeal of it. And he was talking about the benefits that it would bring to those that had cattle and otherwise. But this branding iron, they have two of them. It's about $20,000 a piece, I believe. But this branding iron that they've made, he said it would be profitable for branding cattle. Within 1/30 billionth of a second, they can brand the cattle. It'll kill the pigment of the skin. It's painless, and nobody knows anything about what's happening. And said, salmon's apparently moving through the stream, I suppose. I don't know exactly how, but said that this branding iron is so efficient that even the swimming salmons, that they can brand them for experimental purposes in medical science. But I thought, he didn't say this, he didn't indicate this, but I thought, isn't that something that all of a sudden, we spoke about the laser beam being involved in this thing, and all of a sudden, a branding iron is perfected, a painless branding iron is perfected at this very time when the mark of the beast is setting in. And, you know, people who do not accept God are beasts. How many know that? So you have to brand them. How many know that? The devil has to put his brand on them to make sure everything's all right. I thought about what the Bible said, as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. I thought about how convenient it would be for them just to send out a little notice to the people and tell them that they would have to report to the local authorities here in town according to their date and such as like driver's license. Nobody knowing anything, because as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. All they'd have to do is just send the report and tell you that you're to be there at a certain time. It has to do with your new identity. That the ID has to do with your ID, and that the new identity, you know, and your social security number. And all you'd have to do is be there, and the people would be flocked in there. And all they'd have to do is have a little booth. Now, I've seen this done numbers of times in this similarity. When you come in, just say, step right in here. And you step right in here and have two little things, you know, here, or a little place. They'd say, just look right straight ahead into this. Mash a little button and say, that's all, step out. Something would go click. And you step out. Say, well, what is there to it? But after that one little click, the Bible says that you, never again would you have any rest or peace. For day and night you'd be tormented in the presence of God and the holy angels. Every man that takes the mark of the beast. The Bible said never again will he have any rest. He is cut off from God eternally. One little click. Who could resist it? The law would say it. Who would know? And if the number did not show up, it would be painless. You wouldn't know anything happened because it would be painless. 30 billionths of a second. And there it would be. There it would be. And you know what? It perhaps wouldn't show up unless she was under a violet ray light. But whatever, there you would be branded. Branded. And some of our compromising preachers, you know what they do? If they forced the people to come, even if they made it known that it was the mark of the beast, if it meant the welfare, the natural welfare, or if it meant something concerning their health, some of these compromising preachers would tell their congregation, they'd say, now you go ahead and take it, because you don't have to worry, because God knows you love him, and God knows that we can't stand this awful torture and all of these things that they're going to do to us. And he knows we've done the best we can. And you go right ahead now and take it and don't worry about it. Because God loves you and everything's going to be all right. Because he knows that you've done the best you can. And nobody expects you to stand up, you know, and just be tortured. Now you say, Brother Pike, they wouldn't do that. But I know that they do that. Because today they tell you that God understands, ladies. Go ahead and deck out and powder and paint and wear your shorts. Wear your pedal pushers. And they say to the men, God understands. He knows you've got to have a little recreation, you know, and play a little golf and go down to the seaside and strip off. And he understands that you've got to have a cigarette, you know, and you've got to have a little cud in your mouth and all these kind of things. Is that right? They tell them that God understands. And don't worry, don't get distorted, don't worry about it, just go ahead, because God understands that humanity is pressed with these things, and God understands that it's all right for them to continue on with these things. Is that right? Now don't get afraid, I'm not going to preach to you. You're so afraid, I'll preach. You think, praise God, we had a 10-minute sermon, we're going to get away early tonight. Now ain't that something? Well, you'd have been better off if you hadn't even come. That's right, anybody with that kind of attitude's on their way to hell anyway. And they just clutter up a church when they come. Been better stayed home. But anyway, don't get afraid now. I'm going to let you go. But I just want to drop a thought or two here tonight now. Now, don't you believe that they would do that very thing? They just say, don't worry about it, because it'll be all right. Is that right? Is that right? Folks, you're a lot closer to the crossing than you think you are. You watch what I'm telling you. As sure as I live before God, when they press the people to come to take that mark, hundreds of thousands of religious people, people in the Pentecostal ranks, people that call themselves Jesus' name, and people that say they're filled with the Holy Ghost, people that have spoken tongues, and people that are supposed to have manifested the gifts, we'll go right up there and take the mark. Now you watch and see. They'll go right in when the government says come, when the law says come and do it, and they know that it means imprisonment or bodily harm, they'll go straight and do it. They'll never go behind them bars. They'll never let the law pull them away from their wife and their children or vice versa and put them behind the bars. Before they'll do that, they'll compromise and say, well, I'll just make the best of it and hope for the best. And maybe the preachers are wrong about it. Maybe there's some way out. Maybe God understands and he knows that we just can't tear our families and everything up. They'll watch and see. But you know there's going to be some people, Brother McCaskill, like Brother Latimer and Brother Ridley, when they were in England, and when they took them out and they put them there at the stakes to burn them, when the people gathered around these men and they looked so sad and discouraging because they were going to burn the brethren at the stake, these brethren looked back to them as they burnt the people, or burnt the men, looked back to them as they burnt the men, as these cruel people burned Brother Latimer and Brother Ridley. They looked back at the people that were gathered around, and you know what they did? They never screamed, they never hollered, they never begged, they never said, turn us loose, but they looked back at the people and they said, cheer up, folks. Said, today we have lighted a fire that shall never go out. Now, isn't that a testimony? That's the way it's supposed to be. How many of us will do it? All right, I want you to stand together with me. Tonight, folks, we've lighted a fire that will never go out. It will never go out. Hallelujah. 10 minutes of preaching, but we've lit a fire, Brother Dudley, that will never go out. Never. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. I'm glad that tonight we believe in the fire of God and not strange fire, ain't you? The Lord struck them down when those boys went into the courts of Moses to offer strange fire. A lot of people get to shouting and jumping and hollering. They get into a strange spirit. And they offer strange fire. But we offer the fire that God commands to be offered, that he might not find fault with us. That fire is God himself, the consuming fire. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, I need thee now. Sweet Savior, oh, how I need sing it with me like this now. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. Come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. Or oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. List to my Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. Sing it again, will you? Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. He has come back to your heart once again. Won't you let him in, friend, to stay? Oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. List to my Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. I'd like for us tonight, it's still early, I'd like for us for a few moments to gather around the altars as we sing this again, over again. Oh, don't turn Jesus away. Oh, don't turn him away. He has come back to your heart once again. Won't you let him in, friend, to stay? Oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. List to the Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel him here tonight. There's one or two here tonight that wants the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and I feel him here. I feel his presence. If there ever was a time when we need to yield our hearts and lives to God, it's now. It's now. It's now. The mark of the beast is coming in. The hour of the man-child being caught up to the throne. The things of God happening in leaps and bounds. It's no time, brothers and sisters, to fuss, to find fault, to backbite, to do the things that's not convenient for the Spirit. The Bible said to meditate in His laws day and night. Keep your mind stayed upon Christ Jesus. Watch. Even in the days when Brother Branham was here, he felt it was so near. He said, check yourself every hour for the rapture. Every hour for the rapture. And here we are years later. If he felt it was that close, how close is it now? How close is it now? What are you going to do? What are you going to do if a persecution comes in and you have to stand for the name of Jesus, and it, seeing that it will cost you your life? What are you going to do? What are you going to be able to do? Are you going to have the strength to be able to resist him? Are you going to be able to have the strength to resist Satan, or the strength to stand in testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you got it? The song says, have you got it? Have you got it like the Bible reads? Have you really got it in your heart? Are you really fasting? Are you really praying to where when these things come to pass, you'll be able to stand? Are you doing any suffering, any self-denial for Christ to be able to subject yourself to suffering? Whereas the Bible said, equip yourselves with a mind to suffer, letting this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. A mind of suffering, a mind of submission, a mind of obedience, a mind of listening and giving heed to the things of the eternal Spirit. Have you got that kind of mind tonight? Have you got it? If you haven't, folks, you need to make a change. You need to make a change. As some of you here, Paul said you did run well, but what's hindered you? What's hindered you? Some of you have lost your vision. Some of you want to go back to the land of the kindred. The Bible said, get thee out of the land of thy kindred and I'll make a great nation out of you. But some of you want to look back into Egypt and go back into the land of your kindred. It's all right. Go back out into the world. Go back to the kindred. It's of the flesh, the things of the world, the flesh. Get back out there. Get with them that you're kin to. Go back to the ways of the world and the things that your flesh does out there. The kindred, you're part of them. That beast system that's going to be branded by the powers of Satan to show that they belong to his flock. But I'm glad I got the blood tag of Christ tonight, ain't you? I'm glad tonight I got the blood tag of Christ tonight. I got something within my heart tonight. I've got the blood tag of Christ tonight. The royal blood. I belong to the royal bloodline tonight. And I belong to the flock of God, don't you? Hallelujah. I don't need a mark in my forehead because already I've got his word in my heart, and already I'm sealed in my forehead with his name tonight. Sealed by the name of Jesus Christ. Them that don't take the mark, the Bible said he'll place their name, his name, within their head and seal them in their forehead with the name of Jesus. I'm glad for that tonight. I'm glad I feel his presence. I can feel the Holy Ghost. Feel him presence here. I'm glad that people, Brother Mitch, can feel the freedom of God and the freedom of the Spirit tonight to be united in an endeavor. Folks, become spiritual. Be spiritual because we are in a very, very critical time. I mean a bad time. It's time to be spiritual. It's time to wake up. It's time to do something. If you've not had a born-again experience with God, it's time you got a born-again experience with God. If you've never done anything for God, it's time you did something for God. It's time you started moving in the Spirit of God and functioning within the mind of Christ, because it's a great thing that's taking place, a great and a mighty thing. I want us to sing another little chorus together tonight. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. Sing it together now. I'll go with him through the garden.